Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine here with attorney Joseph Roble from the Joseph Roble Limited Chicago Bankruptcy Law Firm. This is a Chicago Bankruptcy Update featuring information, news, and updates in bankruptcy law. Financial troubles are stressful, and bankruptcy can be a solution for you. If you're considering filing a bankruptcy, Joseph Roble will courteously and professionally review your finances, answer all your questions, and provide the information that you need to allow yourself to decide if bankruptcy makes sense, if it has value, and is the best way to provide financial relief for your financial woes. For a library of information about bankruptcy and the Chicago bankruptcy firm of Joseph Roble Limited, please visit chicagobankruptcy.com. Topics on today's program: do I need to include my paid-for automobile in my Chapter 7 bankruptcy? Another car question: what happens to my car loan if my co-signer files for bankruptcy? Another one is: how will my ex-husband affect my credit or affect my home if he's on my mortgage and has a bankruptcy? And can a family member loan me money for a down payment if I'm in Chapter 13? So all sorts of good real questions from real people on our monthly podcast here. I'm with Joseph Roble, who's an attorney practicing since 1973 with an experience in a wide variety of legal matters relating to individuals and families. He presently concentrates his practice in consumer bankruptcy. Joe Roble helps people get out of debt and get a fresh start. He's an active member in several bar associations and on the bankruptcy panel of the pro bono program of the Chicago Volunteer Legal Services. Roble earned a BA in psychology from Northwestern University, and in 1973 earned his JD from DePaul University Law School. He also served in the U.S. Army Reserve 363rd Civil Affairs Unit. By way of disclaimer, this is a general information program. Anything on this show does not constitute legal advice. Listening to the show doesn't create an attorney-client relationship. And if you have questions, you should call Joseph Roble Limited directly by dialing 312-781-0996. That number again is 312-781-0996. On this Wednesday before Thanksgiving, let's thank Joe Roble for giving some time to the show, and let's say hello.
Well, hello, Nick. Always good to be talking with you, and ready to hear what questions you've got for me today.
All right. Well, I hear all that applause in the background. Everyone says, I want to know about these things. And, you know, we seem to see little themes in the questions we have here. And there's a lot of places that divorce and other things kind of intersect. And vehicles is one, but divorce and bankruptcy and divorce, all sorts of issues there with exes. And it's just that time of year. All right. First person wants to know about a corporation they sued, and the corporation filed Chapter 7. So I have a small claims suit against a corporation that didn't pay me for my contracted services. I have a court date coming up, and I received notification that they have filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. My understanding is that we can't go forward with the small claims court now that the bankruptcy has been filed. It is a significant hardship to travel 2 hours to court. What happens if I don't show up?
Well, this person has a pretty good grasp as to what is happening to him. The bankruptcy that was filed by the corporation that he sued, the filing stops all action by all creditors. And that's a big reason for a lot of people to file. They're under constant pressure with phone calls and letters from collection agencies and from their creditors. Maybe there's a lawsuit going on, and the filing of a bankruptcy provides that peace of mind, gets everybody off their back, and gives them a breather. So this particular caller brought their own lawsuit against this corporation, and now this lawsuit will not proceed any further. If they don't go to court, the case will just be dismissed. If they do go to court, depending upon the procedure of this particular court, the case may go on a bankruptcy calendar just to see what happens if the bankruptcy gets completed. And then the case will just be dropped or the case will be dismissed now with leave to reinstate it in case the bankruptcy doesn't complete. It would be a nice gesture for this person to contact the clerk's office and let them know they're not coming in so that the case can come off that particular judge's call. Now, there's another issue here that this person didn't raise. Corporations that file bankruptcy often have assets, and there may be money for the Chapter 7 trustee that will be administering this case to divide up among creditors. So this particular individual who brought the lawsuit will be getting a notice from the clerk's office that if there are assets, they should file a claim, and they should file the claim timely. There is a period of time to do that so that they can get whatever percentage of is owed them and not lose out by missing this claim being filed.
You know, it looks like the, you know, they're operating without a lawyer too. And the person filed this small claim suit and doing all the, there are things people can do without lawyers, but I really don't recommend it.
That comes up almost in every program where someone's trying to do something on their own. It's the old penny wise and dollar foolish. There's a reason there are doctors, lawyers, and professionals, because we're trained to handle certain kinds of things, and you're always going to be better off with legal matter having a lawyer represent you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's something that most people might not even think of, depending on where you live and what kind of situation it is. If you're a lawyer from a, you know, big city, you know, urban county, you go out into the country, you know, far out there into the sticks, you almost need a local counsel who knows, everybody knows the procedures there. So even within groups of lawyers, there's, you know, geographic things. So just, it's good.
But
I understand that people want to learn. Go ahead.
You even need that. Let's say in my area, I practice out of Chicago and the surrounding counties. Occasionally I will handle a bankruptcy in McHenry County, which is not in my jurisdiction. I don't know the Chapter 13 trustee. I don't know the trustees well. And I've had things come up where I've checked with local counsel in that area just to get an idea of procedures. Because although the law is the same from state to state, I'm sorry, law is the same within a state, bankruptcy law is a national law but has variances. There are local procedures where courts are allowed to change things slightly, and it's important to know that. So as an attorney, I sometimes need some guidance there. And if you're not a lawyer doing something on your own, you're really behind the eight ball.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, there's a reason that people, have specialty areas. There's a good reason for it. All right, let's move on to a question about some cars. I'm getting into cars here. This person has a car that's paid off. Good for you. But now they want to find out, do they have to put that car in their Chapter 7? It says, I need to move because my current medical condition no longer allows me to use the stairs very well. I want to file for Chapter 7, get rid of my mortgage and other debts. My car is paid for. Do I need to include it in the bankruptcy?
So, obviously, they've got a two-story house. Okay, it's a little joke. when you file a very little joke. When you file a bankruptcy and put a petition together, there are certain things that must be done. The petition must contain every single creditor where money is owed. Many times clients ask, can I leave out this credit card? Can I leave out this debt? And the answer is no. You have to list all your assets, personal possessions, household goods, vehicles, real estate, bank accounts, retirement accounts. So if you have a vehicle paid for, financed, leased, it shows in the bankruptcy petition. To answer the question more in more detail, yes, you have to list the car, and then the question is, if it's a Chapter 7, will you be able to keep the car? And that will depend upon the value, and it'll depend upon the state in which this person resides. The value of a vehicle that you're allowed to keep varies from state to state. That's called an exemption. So in Illinois, it's $2,400. As a practical matter, it's probably closer to $5,000 because a trustee is not going to take a car that's worth a couple thousand dollars. It's just not enough money to open a bankruptcy estate. So that $2,400, if you are financing a vehicle, you take the value, you subtract what is owed. If the difference is $2,400 or less, again, in this case, it'll be $5,000 because of local procedure, your car won't be taken filing Chapter 7. Illinois is one of the lower states with regard to exemptions. Other states are much higher, but you need to check. Your lawyer will check that for you. And if you have a vehicle that's worth too much money and were you to file a Chapter 7 and you would lose it, that would be a reason to file a Chapter 13, set up a payment plan, pay back part of your debt, keep your vehicle.
Keep your car. Keep going to work. I mean, people think that that there's this fear that people have. It's kind of like, oh, a project's going to be a difficult project. Well, once you – and they don't want to start the project because of this anticipation. And once they start the project, they find out, wow, this was really easy. We talk about – people want to know about putting things on a list. You know, what do I list this? Do I not? You know, it's like, what are you afraid that if you put something on a list that it's just going to disappear and someone's going to take it from you? I mean, the anticipation and the anxiety people have over bankruptcy – is so much more than the actual experience. Once they do it, they're like, wow, that was really easy. I had to get some paperwork together and, you know, filing fee, and then boom, boom, you know, it was easy. All right, well, I'm off my soapbox. Moving on to more car questions. Okay. We have a co-signer coming up. Again, co-signing, very treacherous thing here. This person was not notified of the co-signer's bankruptcy. They want to know if they're stuck with debt. It says, I co-signed for a car loan, and the primary person ended up filing for bankruptcy. I wasn't notified until after the car was auctioned off. I feel like my rights were violated since I wasn't notified of the bankruptcy. If I was notified, I would have appeared at the meeting with the creditor and reaffirmed the car loan. I'd rather keep the car and pay the loan than have a $15,000 loan with no car. Help. What are my legal options? Note that the primary didn't list me as a co-signer on her case either.
Once again, the hazards of co-signing, trying to do something nice for someone, and getting stuck. I tell clients when they first come in to meet with me that I could take all the bankruptcies that I've done over the years and divide everyone, put them in categories. Why did this person file? Credit cards. Why did this person file? Too many medical bills. Why did this person file? Got divorced. Now they got to pay child support. There's a number of different reasons that cause bankruptcy. And probably the one that could be prevented is co-signing. I once had a woman come in. She co-signed for four of her grown children. Each one defaulted, and all four cars were repossessed. And of my client, she could not file a Chapter 7. Her income was too high. She had a lot of equity in her house. She wound up having to repay all the creditors and did a Chapter 13. It allowed her to spread out the payments over a much longer period of time. She got stuck. So it's so often that we see this. So don't co-sign. Just don't do it. Unless you can, if you've got a lot of money, you're a father and you have a good business, you're making a good living, and you've got money in an account somewhere that you can afford to lose it, then go ahead and sign for your children. But otherwise, just don't co-sign. In this particular case, the fact that they weren't listed as a co-signer, the petition should have showed the co-signer, listed an address, but they didn't necessarily have to even be notified. That's not really a requirement in the bankruptcy process. As a co-signer, if you're going to do it, you really need to pay attention to what's happening on the loan, have the other person let you know every time they make a payment. You really need to be aware of what's going on. And here, obviously, they didn't. Had they been notified, let's say they knew of the bankruptcy, and they came to the meeting of creditors with the trustee, they could not have reaffirmed. A reaffirmation is an agreement only made by a debtor in a bankruptcy with a lender to continue to pay a debt so that you can keep a secured asset such as a vehicle. So they couldn't have reaffirmed. The thing that they could have done would have been to get a new loan, refinance with someone else. But again, the perils of co-signing are just evident almost every single month when we do these Q&A broadcasts.
Yeah. And I hope that your one client lives close to public transportation. This for the benefit of all her children coming over for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We have the next person is also a little bit frustrated. The person says, what can I do about a bankruptcy lawyer who has been paid, had all my paperwork, but hasn't filed the petition in 7 months? She says, I paid the lawyer in June of 2017. The paperwork was completed as of November. He has not filed the petition in court. I have a wage garnishment that is killing me. My emails and phone calls go unanswered. What can I do? Ooh, that's a no good situation.
No, very, very, there's not good options. There are sometimes situations in life where the choices, none of them are that great. You have to make a choice. It always bothers me to hear this type of thing where a lawyer is not doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So the big problem right now is the wage garnishment. This poor person is having money withheld every time. And the only way to stop that, other than trying to pay the debt themselves with the creditor, would be through the bankruptcy. And getting a bankruptcy done through this particular attorney doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Most likely the best answer is hire another lawyer, pay them a fee, make sure you get a good referral recommendation, get the bankruptcy filed, stop the garnishment, and in the meantime, contact the state agency that licenses lawyers in the state of Illinois. It's the Attorney Registration and Disciplinary Commission. In my wallet, I have, besides my driver's license, I have a license from the Supreme Court of the state of Illinois authorizing me to practice. I need to review it every year. I need to take continuing legal aid education, and I need to do a good job for my clients. If you have a complaint as a client of an attorney, you can write a letter, contact that agency, and set forth your complaint in writing. Then the agency will notify the attorney and require a response. The result could be a loss of a license. This kind of a situation will usually result in the money being refunded in order for the attorney to keep the license. The problem is the process is very, very slow, and if this person waits to get their money back before they get another lawyer, you know, it could be 6 months to a year.
Right. So, yeah, so
get a new lawyer, file
a
bankruptcy. Yep, get the bankruptcy filed, and at the same time contact the state agency.
There you go. All right, another person who wants to know about the missing a date to file a claim. It says, I loaned money to a friend some time ago. Well, my friend filed for Chapter 13 bankruptcy. I was notified, but I waited too long to file a claim. There is a court date coming up. What can I do?
So this relates to that first question. We had a person who sued a corporation. The corporation filed a Chapter 7, and they simply wanted to know whether they had to go to court, and I indicated that no, they don't, but they should also file a claim. So there's a time period to file claims in a Chapter 13, and that period is going to be reduced. I don't know offhand the time reduction as of December 1st. There are some new national bankruptcy rules in that regard. So this particular person will get a notice from the clerk's office showing them – oh, I'm sorry. They did get the notice, and they waited too long. They didn't file a claim. And the simple answer is they're out of luck. They can't get it extended. The court date that they mention really is a confirmation hearing. It has nothing to do with filing a claim. So this was not paying attention to a notice that they got.
Yeah. You know, there are so many little things that can just trip you up, you know, something like missing a notice. Which, again, another reason we talk about the value of hiring an experienced lawyer in your area who knows this stuff. Hand down, because the present bankruptcy laws are complicated. As you said, there's new rules coming out. The procedures involved and the documentation can be overwhelming, even for people who are quite adept in all sorts of areas of life and business. Well, if you're not experienced in bankruptcy, you're not going to know what you're doing. Joe Roble and his staff understand you're probably anxious about your financial problems, that you're tired of harassment by your creditors. You're uncertain as whether bankruptcy is really what you need. And if bankruptcy will help your financial situation, when you meet with the attorneys at Joseph Roble Limited, they'll go through everything and let you know what chapter you may qualify for. And you will also be explained the entire proceeding from beginning to end. You'll get a comprehensive letter for what to do next as far as getting documents and things to them. That'll be at or after your initial free consultation, and that will guide you through the entire process. Of course, if you don't need to file for bankruptcy, they'll tell you that. Joseph Roble Limited is not putting you in a bankruptcy just to earn a fee. Joseph Roble Limited is a small law firm of attorneys and staff experienced in consumer bankruptcy, and it's not a big bankruptcy law factory, and no one's ever gotten lost in their office. So you will be treated as a human being with courtesy, dignity, and respect. The mission at Joseph Roble Limited is to have you take control over your finances through the proper use of bankruptcy laws. Firm has conveniently located offices in the Chicago Loop, Chicago Rosemont, and in the suburbs of Burr Ridge, Deerfield, Gurnee, Naperville, Orland Park, Schaumburg, Skokie, St. Charles, and Westchester. So they can represent Illinois clients in Cook and all the collar counties of Will, DuPage, Kane, LaSalle, Kendall, and Lake. So I'm back to our program now. Our next question is about someone wants to know if they can file bankruptcy against an ex-fiancé. This is interesting. So my ex-fiancé proposed to me and gave me an $8,000 engagement ring. He took me to small claims court and sued me for $27,000, and the judge ordered me to pay $13,000 back to him. Can I file bankruptcy against it?
Sounds like this relationship wasn't meant to be. Okay, so
we might have saved more money than this. This might have been a bigger savings than the $13,000. I don't know.
Yeah, breaking up might have before getting married is probably a better idea. So, yes, I assume it's a she. She can file a bankruptcy, wipe out her debts, including this judgment against her by her ex-fiancé. I mean, that judgment is no different than a credit card or a doctor bill. problem is the engagement ring. An $8,000 ring may be worth too much money, depending, again, on the state in which she lives and the amount of her exemptions, to be allowed to keep that ring. So that's a big issue with Chapter 7 bankruptcy. People want to know, okay, I file Chapter 7, I wipe out my debts. What do I lose? What gets taken from me? What can I keep? And that'll depend on what is owned and the value. So the $8,000 ring may result in her having to file a Chapter 13, pay back some of her debt, and keep that ring. Her local experienced bankruptcy attorney can answer that pretty simply for her.
There you go. All right, next one. It says, I'm about to file for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Can I pay for the value of my car instead of what I actually owe? It says, so I owe $7,219.55 on the car. But the car, in all honesty, is only worth about $2,000 to $3,000. If I reaffirm the car, will they negotiate with me for the value of the car instead of what I actually owe on the car, or is there a different process to this reaffirmation?
So this is another question where the person has some knowledge. And, you know, with the Internet nowadays, there is so much information out there, and you can really learn a lot about what you plan to do about any subject. This is sort of a plug for my website with these radio podcasts on there, other information that I provide about bankruptcy basics. This particular individual, when you reaffirm on the car, it's sort of a take it or leave it. Give the car back and owe no money because of Chapter 7, or reaffirm for the full amount of the debt. The payments stay the same, the interest stays the same. It's sometimes possible to renegotiate that. A bankruptcy attorney can do that, but usually that's with a second or third rate finance company as opposed to any of the majors. So generally a reaffirmation, you pay what you owe and you just continue payments. But there is a process called redemption. You can redeem, you can pay the value of the car through a redemption process. There's a court proceeding for that, but that payment needs to be all at one time. So if this vehicle is worth as little as they think, and if they have the money, they can save themselves some money by doing a redemption. But again, the rehab generally can't be negotiated, and the redemption has to be a one-time payment. You can't make payments on it.
All right. We have a couple questions left. Here's another ex-husband issue. How does my ex-husband going bankrupt affect my home? My ex-husband is planning on going bankrupt again. He is on the mortgage to my house. He signed a deed release taking himself off the mortgage with rights of the house, but remains on the mortgage. How will this affect me? Will I be forced to sell?
She will be fine. The bankruptcy is not, his bankruptcy is not going to affect her. All she needs to do is keep paying the mortgage. The fact that he's a co-signer with her on the mortgage simply eliminates his legal obligation to pay. If she stops paying and the house gets foreclosed, her ex-husband can never be responsible for any deficiency on the mortgage because of his bankruptcy. But otherwise, it has really no bearing on her whatsoever. And it's understandable. People are nervous. You have these uncertainties as to what happens with what I own when somebody else is doing a bankruptcy, but she'll be fine.
Okay. All right, good. Okay, our last question today is about Chapter 13, and I'm just going to say so many people must listen to this program to learn the great things about Chapter 13 that we're getting more questions about it. So this person says, can a family member give me money for a down payment if I'm in Chapter 13 because I need to purchase a new car and was wondering if I can get the cash for the deposit from a family member. Is that going to work?
So when you're in Chapter 13, you've proposed a plan that's been approved by the trustee and confirmed by the court, where you're making monthly payments to your local bankruptcy trustee for the county in which you live, and the trustee in turn divides up your money and pays your creditors. You may be paying 100 cents on the dollar. You may be paying 20 cents on the dollar. That depends on the situation. You are allowed to try to obtain credit while a Chapter 13 is going on. This must be approved by the court. It's a common thing, and it's usually for a vehicle. You've got a car when the bankruptcy is filed, and then that car may need to be replaced. So you go shopping for a loan. You can't complete the purchase until the loan has been submitted to the bankruptcy court for approval. And it's a relatively routine thing, as long as you can show that you can afford this new or substitute vehicle loan and continue paying your Chapter 13, and your Chapter 13 has been up to date. And if the down payment comes from a family member, that is really not a problem in case the question arises in court as to that down payment and where it came from. It's always best to indicate that it was a gift and not a loan. So really not a problem. But again, a common type of thing. We probably do at least a half a dozen of these motions, probably more than that, every year to get a car approval.
There you go. There are so many solutions to so many problems, and I think it's just a matter of confidence and people believing in themselves that they can get their problems fixed. The credit will increase after they are, knock out all the debt because they actually have money to pay their bills. You know, you could take it. Even the situations that seem the worst can be turned around, and I've seen people go where it looks like they just, think that there's nothing they can do. They have no solution. They almost like want to accept awful circumstances rather than shooting for the stars. And after they get everything cleaned up, they're doing just great. And, they think back and say, wow, I never thought I was going to get out of that situation. But you can and you do. Again, there's all sorts of information on the website, chicagobankruptcy.com. Joe, what's great place, best way for people to get in touch with you and ask them additional questions or get a free consultation and sign up to get moving on the process?
312-781-0996. You call the office. My staff has my schedule. They'd be happy to set up an appointment for a free office consultation. Once the appointment is set up, we will send out an appointment email with documents to complete, basically a questionnaire, income information to bring with, debts and other information to bring with to the free consultation, lots of paperwork at a bankruptcy, so be prepared. Calling that number and you'd like to talk first with some questions, always happy to answer them. Look to the website, chicagobankruptcy.com, for tons of information that we've accumulated over the years.
Absolutely. I mean, all you have to do is go on the website, and on the top corner, there's a little search bar. You can type in your question, and it'll, using keywords and whatever, it'll, populate a list of different blog articles and things. You can read all day long. So all sorts of good stuff there. All right. Well, Joe, I want to thank you for your time on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. If anyone is out there traveling, be safe. Enjoy time with family and put financial worries away for a moment and then proceed. As always, it's been a pleasure, Joe, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Nick, thank you. As always, happy Thanksgiving to you and happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners.
All right. Everyone, have a great Thanksgiving. We'll be back soon. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.